If you have to invest $100,000, then instead of picking one market or the other, you can put the same $100,000 and have two different markets with two different stocks. And even if we sell one property before the other, the money is going to come back to their pockets faster.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to this edition of Multifamily Deal Lab, where we are going to dissect another deal. This is actually going to be two deals, starting with Cindy. Cindy, tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Cindy Harding, and I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I am the asset manager on this team.
Awesome. All right. And we'll go next to Rhea. We'll go to the new ladies first, then we'll go with the old pro third.
Vanessa's not old. Anyway, she's a pro though. Hi, everybody. I'm Rhea Tobin, and I currently live in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Just moved here last year from California. And I'm going to be helping Cindy with the asset management, but I was the one who found the deals too.
Awesome. So Vanessa.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa Alfaro, and I am the sponsor on this deal. I have the pleasure to work with these lovely ladies here.
Awesome. Were all three of you at Ultimate Partnering?
Yes.
Tell everybody how awesome that was. Tell everybody your opinion of Ultimate Partnering.
I can talk about Ultimate Partnership forever. So you guys start.
Yeah, it was very good. I felt like we were able to make a lot of connections and meet with a lot of different people, and the speakers were great. I loved it. And it was in my backyard, so that made it even better.
Yeah, so you must have been there because it was in Phoenix.
Yeah.
What was your biggest takeaway, Rhea?
Well, I just really like this one, I think, because I was part of one of the panels and everything. I met a lot more people than I normally do. I tend to be more introverted, so I tend to go and watch all the presentations and not meet as many people. But this year, I met a lot of people, so it was good.
There is a power when you sit on that stage and you get stage time and all of a sudden everybody knows you from the room. It makes it a lot easier to network. Vanessa, you're an old hand.
I have to say that Ultimate Partnership, David, is, if not one of the best event in real estate that I know. I go to a lot of real estate events, okay? And I can see that not everybody is in the right mindset, okay, to do networking. But in Ultimate Partnership, it's like everybody goes with the right mindset to talk to people, to create connections, to find partners, to find deals, to find whatever you're looking for. So people is in that right mindset that I think is what creates the great environment at the event, okay, in order to come back home and being like more excited about doing the work, okay, and connecting to people. And the speakers were great as well. But as I said, I always said this to everybody, if you have to pick and choose one event for the year, that will be my pick for sure.
There's just so much networking, and everybody can go with different agendas and different needs, and those needs are all met at Ultimate Partnering. It's so awesome. This is like our 16th year. And I just mentioned that because it was just last month in Phoenix, and the next one's going to be the weekend after Labor Day in 2023. And my good friend Ed Milette is going to be our keynote. He is just awesome. And he lives right down the street, too.
You're doing amazing. We're so excited about going to see Ed Milette there.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love that guy. Oh, and everybody, you can go to ultimatepartnering.com if you want to get it on the early bird special. All right. So that was a shameless plug, but let's go to Rhea. Rhea, tell everybody how you found this deal and tell everybody what these deals are.
Okay. Well, I found the two deals. The first one in Lubbock, I actually found when I met a broker when I was out in Dallas for Killzone. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I came out for that event, met him, and then he sent me the deal. The one in Lubbock, I have been working with a broker for several years, and she found this deal and sent it to me. So that's kind of how they started. And they both started really early last year, like end of February, beginning of March timeframe. So it took us a while to get to close. But
is this the same owner?
It is not the same owner. They just came together right at the exact same time through the whole process. They were like neck and neck with each other. And they also have very similar business plans. So we decided to put them together for a lot of reasons, but mostly efficiency of management and handling the two deals together.
So one's in Lubbock. Where's the other one? Are they both in Lubbock?
No, the second one's in Louisville.
Louisville. Okay. That's quite a distance apart. All right. We'll get back to that. The opening is very interesting here. There's a lot of questions. So how did these other two ladies come into your life with these deals?
I probably met Vanessa, last year, Vanessa, or maybe even the year before during COVID. I just online, I'd seen her. And so I was looking for a potential sponsor. And so I talked to her at least over a year ago, if not two. Cindy came into this deal to help out with the asset management. So I've known Cindy because we've been in a number of training classes together, because I think we joined right around the same time. But we
had Killzone together.
We did Killzone together, yes. And so she came on board. And Michelle, who's our fourth partner, I met Michelle through Vanessa. So.
And tell me about strengths and weaknesses. Who's good at what?
Well, I mean, I can tell you what I think I'm good at. I have a program management background for the last 20 years. So I'm really good at analyzing deals. I think I'm pretty good at negotiating. I started doing contracts work at the beginning of my career and then moved into program management. So I think that's where my strengths are. I can let Vanessa and Cindy tell you about their strengths.
Yeah. Vanessa, why don't you go next?
Well, I think that this deal was specifically really interesting. And my negotiating skills, I have to do that a lot. Because starting since February, when the market was really hot at that point and the brokers wanted to have a lot of money for those deals, okay, we have to come back and do certain techniques in order to get the price that we wanted. And then even 2 weeks before closing, we had to retrade the deals. So I have to put together the whole team, okay, and I think hold it together, and everybody was very nervous, but we went through the finish line and we got what we needed. So the property, we got it like for $800,000 below appraised value at the end.
Wow. So your statements just opened up another line of questionings, which I'll get to, but I just wanted to mention one particular fact. You're a good negotiator. You were even negotiating while you were in labor with your twins. Had the twins and then continued the negotiation after the birth, right?
I am very sweet, but I'm a tough cookie when I have to be. And yeah. The team can tell you about that.
Yeah, I think it was shortly after you got into our system. And Jeannie said, you're not going to believe this story about this lady, Vanessa, who just had twins and was negotiating a deal. That's funny. All right. So, Cynthia, what are your strengths and weaknesses?
So my strengths are actually accounting. That's what I've done my whole life. And asset management really falls into my wheelhouse. And I love working on the T12s and the rent rolls and just making sure now that we have acquired it, that we're going to be able to have the income, be able to meet our investors' expectations. And I will say, Vanessa, sometimes I get nervous and she just tells me it will be fine. Like when she's negotiating. So it's amazing to watch.
It's all about energy. So I got a question for you, Cynthia. Is your husband, is he a left brainer as well? Does he like spreadsheets and is he analytical?
Yes.
Okay. So on Saturday nights, because this is I'm a right brainer. Okay. So I've understood certain things about left brainers. On Saturday nights, when you guys get a good spreadsheet, do you put a couple logs in the fire, get a little bit of wine and say, honey, I got the spreadsheet open. No, that happens.
It's a little embarrassing, but yes.
You're typical then. Very typical left brainer. All right.
I have to tell you that you haven't seen a 40 years old couple. Like, I mean, they have been married for 40 years and they still love each other and they hold hands and they kiss each other as they were like in the honeymoon.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good to hear. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so Rhea, you took two deals on two different parts of the country and you meshed them together and made one. Why? It doesn't make sense to me right now, so make it make sense.
Well, I think the big reason, like I said, the business plan was very similar. Both properties, the owners had started renovations, so we were going to come in and finish them. They both were behind market rents, probably about $150 to $175. They were similar properties and similar types of locations. The big difference is we were putting a property that was in the larger market in Kentucky, Louisville being the biggest city in that state, and Lubbock is more of a submarket in Texas. So we thought from a diversification of similar properties, but diversifying the portfolio to lower the risk. And that's why we decided to put them together. That's how we initially got there. So.
And then they're under the same debt structure as well, under the same loan. Did you put them together that way as well?
No, we have two Freddie Mac loans. So we fixed rates and they are both Freddie Macs. So.
Okay, well, that's good. That was my primary concern. They're both under the same debt. How are you going to sell one and get out of that debt? All right, so that's interesting. But you've got two sets of teams. everywhere, right? Pretty much, except for the people, your syndication attorney is going to be pretty much the same. Your insurance is going to be the same. But did you use two different local attorneys to negotiate the P&Ss?
Yeah, we had local attorneys for each of the P&S, and one I've worked with in the past and other deals, and the one in Texas, Vanessa had introduced me to, so she knew him well.
Cynthia, how much did you buy these deals for combined?
That's a good question for Rhea.
Okay, Rhea.
Retraded, so I want to say it was 11.6 at the end. We came down about 200,000 right in the, like Vanessa said, just a couple of days before closing. So
yeah,
it was 11.8, and I think we came down to 11.6. That's combined. The combined price, yes.
So did you negotiate with both sellers right before the closing, or was there one deal you renegotiated right prior?
There was one deal, the one that we just closed on yesterday, that we renegotiated within like a week, a week and a half before we closed.
All right. And Vanessa, it sounds like you did the negotiations. Tell me, what was the catapult that spurred that negotiation? What was the opportunity? Was it the drop? Was it the rise in the rates?
The interest rates started to go up, okay? And we're going to face a decision of, we all have to remember that we're selling securities here. So we are regulated by the SEC and we have to follow these rules. So when the interest rate is starting to go up, we have to face the decision of disclosing this to the investors, because the returns are going to be lower, at least for a 1%. And the investor will have to make the decision if they have to back out from the deal. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that we follow a due diligence schedule every month, okay? And this deal has been on the contract for maybe four, okay, or 5 months, because the loan was very complicated. The whole deal was very complicated. So at that time, we also found that in the rent roll, he's supposed to charge to all the reno, and the new license is supposed to charge utility, okay, utility ROPS to the tenants, okay? And they were picking and choosing about three or four people that they were not charging those utilities. And we saw that just when the interest rates went up. So we had to go and tell them, listen, this is happening and the interest rates went up. Now our deal doesn't look exactly the same. Now you have to give us this money back if you want us to close. Otherwise, we have to disclose this to the investors. The investors can back out if they want, okay? And then we won't be able to close, blah, 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 blah. And they say no, okay? They say, we're not going to give you anything. And then everybody was like super nervous. Oh my God, we're going to lose the deal. We're going to lose the money.
All right, I got a question for you, though, before you continue with the story. Did you have money hard at this point? Could they have said no and walked away with your money?
Yes.
Okay, so now I can see why Cynthia is so nervous.
Well, the thing is we negotiate our PSAs really well, okay? And in the PSA, we have certain clauses that says they have to maintain the property the same level that they have been doing, like if they own it, if they're not going to sell it, right? So the fact that they didn't renovate these people and they didn't charge the rob was something that we can use in our favor, okay, one way or the other. So we had a phone call with our lawyer, and actually the lawyer sent an email yesterday and he said to us, I have learned from your team on the art of negotiation from this transaction. Mm-hmm. Our real estate lawyer said that to us. He put a letter together and the seller said, no, we're not going to give you anything. If you want to close, you close at this percentage. And then at 12, we told our lawyer, send the letter. Okay. We're canceling the deal. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, he came back and said, we're giving you $250,000. Okay. We were happy with $150,000. That was our break even. We didn't have to retrade that anymore. He came back to $250,000. We had another $70,000 in reverse credit, and that was it. Okay. We made it through the finish line with this $250,000 retrade.
That's awesome.
At that point, the $250,000 was, we decreased the price, the purchase price of the property, the interest rate that went up, it didn't matter anymore, okay? Because the deal was not affected at that point, okay? So we didn't have to disclose anything to the investor because the deal was not affected. So it was not a material change on the deal.
Excellent. Okay, good. Yeah. Cynthia, what was the raise and where did you get it?
The raise was different for each one.
Yeah.
And Vanessa is very good.
At raising?
Yes.
That's excellent.
She is on the phone 24/7.
Yeah.
But yes, she is amazing.
Well, I just believe in the properties. I don't raise money what I do is like I offer this opportunity.
Yep.
I know these properties. I know all the properties that I am in. I am not like some other people that just raise money. Okay. I think that these properties are awesome. I 100% believe in real estate. Okay. I don't want to invest my money in other things. Maybe Bitcoin. That's another conversation. Yeah. 90%, 95% of my money is in real estate. So I feel a responsibility to share this information to many people that they don't know that they can actually be part of a syndication and they can actually take advantage of the cost segregation and all this bonus depreciation. So for me, it's not to sell or to raise. It's just like sharing this information, and it's up to the investors if they want to invest or not in these deals. Okay. And we're talking about a deal that we closed Texas first. Okay. And a 4.5% interest rate, even right now that the market is slowing down, properties in Lubbock has been sold for $6,000-$7,000 more per unit of what we purchased. Okay. And a 6% interest rate. So we've got two great deals in our hands. And that's how we do it. We got great properties.
So you just basically went down your list. Did you send an email to the entire list? And then those that raised their hands, you followed up with a phone call?
Yeah, usually we do that. We have a list of people that usually go first to our VIP investors, which is everybody that have invested with us before. So we give them the opportunity to see the deal. If we have a specific class, sometimes we have 10% cash on cash, okay, as a preferred return. And we offer those class to our VIP investors. So we usually go to that list first, and then we go to the general list, people that hasn't invested with us, okay? And then we always meet people all the time that wants to invest and comes through social media. We don't advertise, okay? This deal is a 506C, but we don't usually advertise as many other companies can advertise. We don't do that. We do one-to-one.
Okay, excellent. And you just constantly list building. That's what it takes, right? During the inspection process, were there any challenges during the inspection, the physical inspection process?
Well, there was for the Louisville property. The Lubbock one, the property management company went out and did it. And I mean, outside of just normal stuff for a property that age, it wasn't that bad. But Louisville, the inspectors did find significant wear and tear on two of the roofs. And then they also found some running water issues in the basement. So we actually, for those things, we were able to negotiate a repair credit so that we are able to fix them now that we've closed. So,
and how much was that?
I think ultimately we got a $70,000 repair credit for the roofs and the water issues. So
running water in the basement, what was that? Was that a broken faucet or?
At least older buildings have copper pipes, and Louisville has very hard water. And so they just had some issues where there were leaks that were sprung, and whether I don't know whether the property management didn't notice them, but when we brought it to their attention, they at least got stops fixed. And then we're going to fix the pipes when we, now that we've closed. So
now, after you realized that there was these water leaks, did you go back to your water bill and then talk with somebody? I see that Eric Stewart financed the deal. Did he tell you whether or not your water bill was over what the rule of thumb is for that particular area? Because that could be a potential value add.
Well, we have definitely noticed that the utility bills were high. And that's probably because we now have gotten the water bills. We only got those fairly recently. So Cindy and I were just going through and counting them out because they're done by buildings. So we can see which buildings have really high water and which don't. So that's definitely something we're going to be looking into immediately. But we're also planning to transition the tenants over to paying their own water bills going forward. So it helps us notice which buildings might have some issues.
So that being said, with the water bills, are all of the units separately metered, or are you going to be installing water meters for each unit?
We're looking into metering them because there's about four or five companies that I've reached out to and gotten some information. So that's fairly early on in the process. I'm going to be putting together a whole table that talks about how much their costs are, because we just feel that that's the better opportunity than trying to do a RUBS in this particular property. So that's what we're going to look at and see if it's cost effective. We definitely are going to do it that way.
Yeah. So for those that are listening, the next steps would be to determine how much it's going to cost to put those meters in, how much savings you're going to have. The rent doesn't rise, but their cost of living there rises because of the water. So you're probably not going to capture all of it, but you're going to capture some percentage of it. So whatever the additional money that you're going to make, the additional profit that you'll make off of the rent because of those water meters, then you got to do break-even analysis. Then you got to see when those meters pay for themselves And then after they pay for themselves, how much additional revenue does it bring? And then how much value does that revenue bring to the property? So for those listening that we're familiar with how usually most people do a RUB system, resident utility billing system, where you'll take the water bill, you divide it by the number of tenants, divide it by their square footage, and then come up with an amount for each. So that's the cheapest way to do it because you need to come right out with a figure. Those are the two trade-offs. So it's interesting that you're going that route. All right. So what was any other strange aspects of this deal? Any other big challenges that you had to get over? Any funny stories about this deal?
We can share the story of when we had the Texas. Okay. In February, we received a phone call from Ria's broker. Okay. He wanted to talk to the group because we're going to go to Besson final. So we jump in that phone call and he said to us, well, ladies, I really appreciate Ria. We have been talking for a year. We have a great relationship. We want to do a deal. But let me tell you something. Your offer is below market. Okay. You have like 10 other people offering more money than you. Then you guys are not offering her money. And then I don't remember what else, okay, he wanted from the deal. So I go into that phone call and I say, so why are you inviting us to the Besson final? We shouldn't be even in this phone call because you're saying that we don't even qualify to be in Besson final. Well, we know we appreciate Ria. So we go back to him and say, listen, okay, I think that those people that is offering that much money, they are not going to be able to close because this is completely overpriced. Okay, so go with that people. And then if something happened, come back to us. And effectively that happened. The people, the top three that offer X amount of money, okay, was not a strong group.
Yeah.
He came back to us. And what did we say? Well, now things change. We cannot offer you the same amount of money after 4 weeks. Now we can offer you $200,000 less, okay, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's how we put on the contract because it was just right at the time that the interest rate started to go up, okay? And even though Eric Stewart did our deal, he did a fantastic job as always, and he got us 4.5 in that deal. So it was a great timing. And at that point, a week after that, Ria came back and said, hey, this deal has been trying to negotiate for 3 to 4 months in Louisville. They just accepted the LOI as well. So we had these two deals together and we were actually going to syndicate these two deals as two separate deals. And in one meeting, we were talking and we were like, listen, we have these good deals, okay, really good deals. They're all 18% annualized return. We're both getting a Freddie loan, okay? We're going to present these to our investors and how our investors are going to pick one or the other, okay? Mm-hmm. And what are the investors looking right now is for diversification. So they cannot put all their money in one state or in one city. You want to diversify even in real estate, okay, especially in this economy right now. So we just decided to put it together and offer that diversification to everybody. And if you have to invest $100,000, then instead of picking one market or the other, you can put the same $100,000 and have two different markets with two different stats, okay? And even if we sell one property before the other, the money is going to come back to their pockets faster. So
that makes a lot of sense. I remember one time we were doing about a deal and a half a month during the next rise, which is going to come again, the next run period. And I remember one time we had like four deals going and I was saying to Jeannie, you know, the raises are going slow. What's going on? Because we would have a call and then we'd have the money raised by the end of the day. So I had the call, but the money was slow. And I was like, Jeannie, what's going on? How come the money's so slow coming in? And she said, Dave, people just don't know what property to decide on. They don't know which one to go into. And I was like, oh, damn. So I threw too many choices at them. Realized after that you got to segregate. So if you got multiple properties that only show like one segment of the list, one property, another segment of the list, the other, hadn't thought about putting them all together. That's a good idea too.
People get confused and it takes time for them to make a decision. And when you have two good deals, how they're going to make a decision? Better to diversify.
You taught us a confused mind says no.
That's right.
You taught us that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Still hold to that. Yeah. That's like a life lesson.
Yep.
Now, the other thing too is it's funny. I'm writing a new book called Multifamily Moneyball. And the chapter I was just writing this morning, I wake up at 4 a.m. and I write like 3 or 4 pages every day. Was the fact that when you go into an offer and everybody else is much higher than you, okay, and they ask you to raise your price, sharpen your pencil, as they say, and you can't do it because you've got to buy your deals based on how you buy those deals, a good conservative formula, and then you just walk away, but you walk away politely. Because when those Yahoos can't close on their deals, they're going to be coming back to the other people to go back into the deal. And if they like you, and just because they like you, that's why they'll go back to you first. So as my mom always taught me coming through life, never burn a bridge. Leave rose petals behind. All right. So listen, we're going to go into lightning round. Okay. So Cynthia, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Telepathy.
Vanessa, what's your favorite car?
Ferrari.
Rhea, do you know how to salsa dance and eat salsa with chips?
No and yes.
Excellent. On a scale of 1 to 10, Cynthia, how good are you at live presentations?
A 9.
How good were you when you first started? Back to Cynthia.
Probably about a 6.
That's still pretty good. Vanessa, do you believe in love at first sight?
Yes, I do.
Oh, this next one should have went to Vanessa, but it's going to go to Rhea. How many cups of coffee do you drink per day?
0.
0. Vanessa has a gallon mug. What about you, Cindy?
0.
You 0 for you as well? Mm-hmm. Coffee's good for you. No, I used to drink 0 forever. But all right. Cindy, what's your ideal outside temperature?
72.
Woo! Vanessa, have you ever slapped someone in the face?
Oh, yes. I am Latin, so it is very normal in Latin America.
It's part of the culture.
Yes.
Wow. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. I can do it here in the US, though.
Rhea, what's your favorite type of muffin?
Blueberry.
All right, I'm going to ask you all this next question. What was the last best business book you read, Cindy? And then I'm going to ask you about an inspirational book after that. So Cindy, last best business book?
Atomic Habits.
Vanessa?
Business book?
Yep.
Oh my God, I have many things, but I've been reading. Okay, what is the name? I told Cindy to read it.
Traction.
Traction.
Rhea?
Probably Good to Great.
Oh, that's an awesome book.
That's a good one.
Cindy, last inspirational book or podcast or anything?
I watched you interview Jerry and Anthony.
Oh, last week?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was like a technology disaster.
But it was still really good. I learned a lot.
Yep, that was good. Vanessa?
I just came back from 4 days with Tony Robbins and UPW, and anything is like bigger than that. I walk on fire and I did the whole thing. It was, I came back like a new person.
He's awesome. Rhea.
Vanessa stole from me. I'm a huge Tony Robbins fan. I'm going out to his business mastery in the February, March timeframe. So I can't wait.
Oh, you know, I traveled so much that to go to other people's events when I was doing all the traveling with the seminars and buying the properties, it's like when I got home, I didn't want to travel anymore. So I wasn't going to anybody else's events. And then I had my kids and then COVID happened and everybody did them online. So I've been to UPW like 3 times online. I've been business mastery twice online. So it's been good.
Well, his is in Florida. He literally lives right near me. I think it's February. And then the second one is like 6 weeks later. So there's 2 phases of it.
Awesome.
But they're both in West Palm. So
all right, I got one question for all of you. Okay. And whoever answers first wins. Why do kamikaze pilots wear helmets?
I have no idea. What do you say? I pass. That's for you, ladies.
All right. That was a rhetorical question. So that concludes this version of Multifamily Deal Lab. Come again. We'll see you next week.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.